awesome.
That was awesome.
You guys are awesome.
No, you're awesome.
No, you are awesome.
Sir, you are awesome. Seriously.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Welcome to this week's edition of Everything is Awesome. I am your host, Kev, and this is the show where we sit down and talk to awesome people about awesome things. And woohoo! Yes! A day late. I swear we're making our way towards our Monday schedule. I just have been preoccupied with ankle as we updated you last week's episode. And I will probably talk about every week until I am fully healed. That being said, the quick update on the ankle is since we last spoke, I have been to an orthopedic doctor. Everything the MRI showed is true and accurate, where there are there's a ruptured ligament, there's a sprained ligament, there's a lot of stretching going on in there. And they also found hidden underneath some of the hematoma buildup was a hairline fracture in my foot. So they moved me to a boot, which has been life-changing in the sense that, like, I can get around a lot easier now. I still can't drive because it's on my right leg, and it is illegal to drive with a boot on your foot, but that's okay. I am likely about 2 weeks out from getting this boot swapped out to a brace. But I will be returning to a semi-normal life next week with people carting me around to where I need to go. So thank you in advance to everyone that's going to be doing that. And of course, thank you to everyone who has been carting me around in the meantime, which is mainly for doctor appointments and like, family events and stuff like that. Anyway, so this week we return with Mike D'Angelo. This is part two of our conversation, where we look ahead into 2024. Very specifically, a lot of Marvel stuff, I started taking notes and then I completely forgot to continue doing so, but a lot of Marvel stuff, and of course tangents, abound, in regards to like some Star Wars stuff and MCU stuff and DCU stuff and whatnot. If I remember correctly, because we kind of abruptly ended this episode, our part three conversation airing in 2 weeks is going to be a look at some video games and TV shows that are coming out in 2024, as well as some personal projects that we're working on for, you know, our related hobbies and activities. Tellist for Mike, podcasting, and you know, Starboard Media for me, in addition to some like writing projects that I'll be working on. So and you know what, before we move over to this conversation, as I was editing this, Mike pointed out a new podcast to me that I have fallen in love with, and I haven't even listened to an episode yet. I've simply just listen to their TikTok, and it's the Basement Yard, which I'm sure anyone listening to this probably knows this podcast already, but it's my favorite genre of podcast, which is like two best friends sitting around talking. And I don't need to know you as a friend in order to enjoy that genre of podcast. Right. So, you know, it's, that's going to be, I mean, it was almost a rabbit hole this week. I went down their TikTok for about 10 to 15 minutes, and it was distracting me from doing everything that I need to do today. So I had to put it away, have some self-control, some willpower. That's just a little recommendation. So sit back, relax, and let's talk about Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and the movies that are coming out in 2024 that we're looking forward to right here on Everything is Awesome, only on awesomepodcast.com. So the point of this, our part two conversation, is I guess to talk about 2024, right? Like, we kind of said what we had to say about 2023.
It's been months at this point, Kev. Months.
It's been 2 weeks, maybe three. And that's a stretch.
I can't remember any of that. Yeah. Did we do all of our favorites? We did TV, we did games, we did movies, right?
Yeah, for sure. We spent a lot of time on games, briefly touched on TV because I don't have a good way to track what I was watching in 2023. Right. And then we didn't elaborate on movies. We spent some time on it, but we
raced through your top 10 and then we had some honorable mentions at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've yet in 2024, and the month of January is almost over, I've yet to see a 2024 film. So that is like last year. And not only that, I don't think I've watched a full movie yet this year. And compared to 2023, in January, I had watched at least like 14 films in the month of January, and a handful of them, I think, at the very least, they were new to me in 2023, if not right. new releases.
I had a movie that we watched this month. I think it's the only one that we've watched. No, I could be wrong. We could have done Spider. I can't remember when we watched these things, but we watched Blazing Saddles for my first time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I've never seen it.
No. It came out 12 years before you were born.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
It's a movie people talk about, though. So that's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's Mel Brooks. The guy who did,
Spaceballs.
And Men in Tights. And
Yeah. I can't believe that dude is still kicking.
Right.
Like,
he's only one of two people who starred in that movie who are still alive.
He feels like he's 150 years old. And I know not the case. I don't think he's even 100 yet, but
I don't know. It
just feels like he's been around forever.
It's very true.
Forever.
Yeah. This weekend was Cowboys and Indians themed. Cause we did that and we watched the rest of Echo.
The rest of what?
Echo.
Echo. Yeah. I haven't even started it. Echo.
Yeah, it's good. It's not, it's not the greatest thing since sliced bread or anything, but it's interesting. It's a fun little 5-episode Marvel thing.
I heard that it has like a lot of ties as far as like tonally to the Netflix.
Right. Stuff. They did it with like their Spotlight brand. So that they could be a little bit more mature and show like people dying on screen and stuff like that and hit things a little harder, maybe say a few swear words, things like that.
I think that's certainly the way to go with stuff like that, because you need to have, I kind of enter that world full fledged with Deadpool 3. Right. So,
that and Daredevil Born Again and
right. Well, especially the new direction Daredevil Born Again is going in. I think the original direction was going to be more akin to the MCU stuff.
Right.
That has come before it, but it sounds like they're moving in the proper direction, we'll say.
And it sounds like that little corner of the MCU is definitely going to be like, hey, let's slow things down and build some world.
I am all for just the MCU in general slowing things down. They say let's release 4 movies a year and 2 to 3 series a year, it's a bit of overkill. I like it all. Like, and I'll watch it all. And there's very few things that I will not like. The closest is probably Secret War, is that what?
Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. I didn't hate it. I also didn't love it. Like,
oh, it was my most dreadful watch in the MCU.
I probably don't agree, and it's probably something I won't go back and rewatch unless like I'm really wanting some Nick Fury action.
What would you think was worse?
The only thing I think is potentially worse would be Thor: The Dark World. TV series, maybe that limited series they did on ABC.
I don't count any of those.
What was that called?
You talk about like The Runaways and like,
no, not The Runaways.
Dagger and stuff.
No, I've actually heard that Runaways and Cloak and Dagger were pretty good. I never watched them though. No. God, they start with an I.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The ones up in space.
Yeah. Oh my God. Black Bolt's their leader.
Inhumans.
Inhumans. That's the word. Right. Holy crap. Right. Oh, that's me getting close to 40, Mike.
Woman, man, camera, whale, windmill.
But I mean, so TV wise, I never watched Inhumans, so maybe that's worse. I think movie wise, I mean, I guess if you count the, was it called The Incredible Hulk, the one with Ed Norton?
Yeah, I didn't think Edward Norton's Hulk or Dark World were worse.
See, I liked, I mean, again, I will I rewatch it? I think technically I do rewatch Incredible Hulk whenever I do like a timeline order thing or whatever of my MCU rewatches. Same thing with Dark World. So I guess in that vein, I guess there is nothing quote unquote worse, because I don't think I would ever, there is no need to rewatch Secret Invasion. Like it doesn't add anything right now. I think the only thing it kind of gives anything to is Rhodey. Like, oh wait, Rhodey was a Skrull since Infinity War.
It's that. And then it takes two people off the board, because it takes off Ben Mendelsohn and it takes off Kobe Smulders.
And it also, oh man, I forgot she died in that show. That sucks.
Right. And it felt like there was no spy stuff in this spy show. Like there was no
It was very, I didn't hate it, but that said, I don't think I'll rewatch it.
Yeah.
It also gave us, was her name Kira?
Yeah. I can't remember, but Emilia Clarke.
Or was that her name in Star Wars?
Could have been. But I feel so bad for her, because she just gets like the worst written stuff for her. You know, like Game of Thrones was really good for her for 6 years, and then like they were just like, just throw whatever at the wall.
Well, I the thing I don't like about her character in the MCU now is that she's like the most powerful character.
Right.
She's literally the most powerful character in that show.
Right.
Or in that universe.
And that happened before the Marvels. So
Yeah.
Fury could have called her up at any time and been like, hey, can you Captain Marvel your way up to this planet and help these people out?
Right. But she was really good in Solo. And I think Solo is like an underappreciated movie.
Yeah.
Because
she's really a great actress.
Yeah.
But she's given shit to work with.
Well, and I don't think so. I think she did. I think Solo.
I'm not saying that everything that she's given a shit. I'm saying in the case of Game of Thrones and Secret Invasion.
Gotcha. But Solo is one of those things that it gets a bad rap because, you know, obviously there was a lot of behind the scenes drama, but also like it is a movie about a character that the actor's still alive.
Right.
And we had just kind of seen him in as that character again. And no one really asked for let's get the origin of Han Solo.
Right.
So nobody asked for it. I don't think anybody wanted it. And we still you could have done something with Han Solo with Harrison Ford if you really wanted to, back up a money truck to him. That said, I think Solo is a great movie. It proves that in the Star Wars universe, you can do something that's not just a space fantasy movie. Like that is, you know, it's very much Star Wars, but it's a heist movie, first and foremost.
Right.
And I think that's great. And at the end, it gets a little Star Warsy. It also brought back Darth Maul in live action, which I think is great. And it really, I think that her story, which was set up to be really, I think, have some cool moments as this quasi villain working for a crime syndicate. It sets some stuff up that I think gets paid off in the comic books,
right?
Which is awesome, I guess. But
I would hope that they don't give up on it entirely and at some point say, let's go back to that well and continue doing what we were supposed to be doing there.
Right. I think you could certainly do a Solo. It's tough too, right? Because Solo takes place about 5 years before A New Hope.
Right.
So, you have a limited window of storytelling, before you butt up against A New Hope. I also think they messed up with having that be the timeline, especially since I think Obi-Wan is 10 years before A New Hope. And the age difference in Han and Leia is very evident there.
Right.
Whereas, it is, I guess, accurate because in A New Hope, I think Leia is like 19 years old, and I think Han Solo is at least a decade older. So it makes sense, but when you see
right
what I assume is a 20-some year old Han Solo and a
10-year-old
Leia, it's just like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, we went into some weird territory here.
Right. I mean, at the same point, like, they never know each other when they're those ages or anything
right,
like that.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen some weird stuff, Kev. I've seen some people who knew children when they were growing up and then later end up with them when they're adults, and that's freaking weird.
That's Twilight shit. That's yep. the imprint of Jacob. I don't know his name.
I think you're correct.
But yeah, I would absolutely love to see, and I don't know if it's happening, but like, I would love to see Alden. Is that his name?
Alden Emmerich.
Yeah. I would love to see him pop up in the, if it actually is still happening, the
Lando film,
the Lando series is what I heard it was going to be.
Okay.
Cause the way it was going to, it sounds like it was going to be very like young Indiana Jones where, you know, it was never Harrison Ford except for like one episode maybe, but it was going to be Billy Dee Williams, like bookending the episode. And then
I like it.
Donald Glover in the core of the episode,
doing all the stuff that makes sense.
And I, you know, that's a great place to have, you know, young Han Solo pop up. Cause again, that kid did a great job. Like that whole cast was amazing. Like, I don't think there was much I disliked about Solo other than the fact that I was like, oh, this is just poor marketing. Like, it's just bad timing. I think people had a little bit of a sour taste of Star Wars in their mouth at that point as well.
Was that after Last Jedi, or was that?
It was around Last Jedi. Think it was, it may have been after Last Jedi. And I think that was the issue.
Right.
It was like
some people who really liked it, but there's some people who really didn't.
Right. And well, and so Last Jedi came out, I think, in December, and then 6 months later or something like that, Solo came out. So, cause they were reserving like December as the Skywalker films. And I think they took the wrong lesson from that, saying that like, oh, we can't do anything but, Skywalker films. Though it did lead us to the Mando TV series and that whole, I think where Star Wars thrives now is on Disney Plus, even though it's making the jump back to the big screen. I think Star Wars, more than any other big IP, thrives so well in the small screen.
Right. I agree.
There's not been the closest Star Wars show that I was met on was Andor.
Really?
Yeah. And that was only for the, it was a slow burn. It took three episodes for me to really kind of jump into it.
So I haven't watched Andor, but from like my understanding, Andor is like the epitome of like what people think of as like the best Star Wars shows.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's probably The Mandalorian. And then very close behind that is both Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. But I also like, while I liked Rogue One, it also is outside of the genre, because that's another film. I guess maybe Rogue One was the first film to be like a genre film within the world of Star Wars, with it being an actual war film, right? So and that kind of stuff like is not a super interest of me. So because I don't get big spy thriller from Andor. It's definitely trying to be that, and probably succeeds more so than Secret Invasion did. But for me, it is my least favorite of the Star Wars TV series, but I'll rewatch it when Andor season 2 is about to come out, because
I didn't even know they were doing that.
Yeah. The whole plan was to do 2 seasons. We know where we're starting and we know that it's ending. Like, we know where this character ends. So, they're kind of just, season 2 is like really, I think, setting up, Rogue One, basically. Right.
Rogue One is such a bizarre idea for a film. Like, hey, we know that like this has got to lead into, you know, the Star Wars Episode 4. Let's kill off all of our characters.
Well, like, you kind of have to, right? Because
you don't see them any other time in the Star Wars universe.
But that being said, you don't, until recently, You also don't see Hera Syndulla anywhere in the Star Wars universe. Where was she during the original trilogy? You know, right? Like, there's so many characters that are alive. Ahsoka Tano, where was she? Clearly alive, because we've seen her post Return of the Jedi.
Right. Darth Maul wasn't alive again until they decided to bring him back during the Clone Wars.
Right.
And everything like that. So
it's, you know, it's, I think it was a weird move to say, like, these characters have to die because we never see them in the original trilogy. But there's so many other characters that come from the pre-trilogy, original trilogy era, that whether that's from live action movies, TV shows, or cartoons, that show up.
Right.
Like, they, or they're alive and they just don't show up.
Boba Fett's in the Sarlacc pit until he's not, you know, like.
Right. Which, it, I mean, I think they did a great job of kind of explaining, like, oh, this is how you could live. Like, I wasn't mad about. There, Star Wars has yet to really upset me. Probably the most was Rise of Skywalker is probably the most upset I was, because it's just, it's not the direction I would have went with the ending that the Skywalker saga.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the general like ending of the movie. I'm just talking from start to finish. It just wasn't my favorite. But as I've said about the prequel trilogies, they are meant for kids first and foremost. And then, I mean, I disliked heavily that prequel trilogy, like most of our generation did. And now I can watch them without distaste in my mouth.
Right.
Because of the Clone Wars cartoons, and, you know, even the Bad Batch has, like, made it look better. And of course, like, Hayden Christensen coming back in Obi-Wan and Ahsoka has, like, repainted that character and that performance.
There's some technical stuff in the sequel trilogy that I don't think that, like, yeah, like, you might be able to find, like, some value in some of the stuff later on, but, like, killing Snoke, killing Captain Phasma, never really letting Finn, you know, come to life as a character or anything. There was a lot of things that, like, you don't see reconciled in any of those movies. And I think it's because you had two different directors who so badly wanted it to be their vision that they were like, nah, I'm just going to scrap this one's vision.
Right. I think that the big issue is, while you had different directors, at least in the original trilogy, there was still like we know the story, like A to Z, we know the story of this trilogy. There was just no Bible being followed, really.
Right.
In that sequel trilogy.
You needed Filoni. Sucks.
Yes, absolutely. Like, listen, Kathleen Kennedy, you know, I'm not going to take away what she's done as a producer, but she wasn't. Star Wars, after George Lucas left, Star Wars didn't have a Kevin Feige, right? So Dave Filoni and maybe John Favreau, no? Favreau, that's it. Them two, I think, should be your Kevin Feige of the Star Wars universe. And I think now, Filoni basically is.
Right.
With I'm sure, you know, Johnny Fav having, like, a lot of say over his corner of that little universe. Big universe, I should say. But none of that is coming in 2024.
Right. We went off on tangents, which is very, very in line with that's, you know, 100%. Your show.
I will say that before we get off of Star Wars, I'm a little disappointed that season four of Mando is now a movie. Like, I prefer the TV aspect for that. Unless
I can't imagine them telling the story that they need to in that small amount of time.
Right. Like, granted, their episodes are roughly a half hour. So you're in a 2.5 hour movie, you're getting 4 or 5 episodes worth of content, which, you know, is almost a whole season. But I also, like, as long, if this is just like, oh, we want to tell a longer form story that's just a little tighter. And, you know, we're going to assume everyone watching this has gone and watched the first 3 seasons, then we're going to do that and come back to do TV later. I fear that this is just the the nail in the coffin of, okay, Mando is done after this movie, at least as a TV show. But when that was confirmed, it was also confirmed Ahsoka season two is happening, which is also a little confusing because I assume that Dave Filoni's, like, he's making a movie that combines the entire Mandoverse into like a culmination event. So I don't know if that movie's like, oh, this movie's just going to be after Ahsoka season two.
Who knows?
I also think that the Mando Grogu movie, once that dropped as like, oh, we're doing it as a movie now, I feel like maybe they're developing some sort of trilogy that ties in all the TV shows and wraps up with Dave Filoni's movie, which is the culmination event, which I'm assuming is Thrawn is the big guy, the big bad guy, because you do have him now. Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Ahsoka. You have him back in the proper galaxy of Star Wars, but he does, again, no longer exist. Like, we don't see him show up at all in the sequel trilogy.
Right.
So we have to rectify the fact that he does not exist or is ever mentioned.
Well, and Mando, everything there is post Return of the Jedi. Right. You've got Luke acting badass and everything like that. So he's clearly already deposed of Vader and everything like that. So there is a chunk of time that you have to play with.
Oh, you have. I mean, this takes place, I don't know where the timeline is right now. Mando season one started, I think, 5 years after Return of the Jedi. Presumably you're probably maybe at most another 5 years out from that as of like now with Ahsoka season one, which is like the latest project from that world. So, you know, at most you're 10 years out from Return of the Jedi, which means I think you're 15 or so years out from the sequel trilogy. So there is a lot of time to play with in between now and the sequel trilogy. And really, Thrawn is the only real character, I guess, aside from Ahsoka and, and you know, even like Hera and Ezra, like those characters are all in play post Return of the Jedi, but they don't really show up in.
Right. Not only do they not show up, but they're never even mentioned.
Yeah, in the Battle of Exegol, the ghost ship shows up. So, like, it's assumed that Hera Syndulla and Ezra and, like, that crew is on that ship. Ahsoka, not Rosario Dawson, Ashley Eckerson, I believe her name is the original voice. She voices Ahsoka when all those Jedi talk.
Right.
So, like, there's Easter eggs for those characters. But, again, you're talking about, you know, the sequel trilogy, which is a maybe not quite as big of a war as the original trilogy war, but still like a galaxy.
Which blows my mind because they have like the what is it? The solar system destroyer versus the Death Star.
That only lasts like, one movie, though.
Right. And then, hey, we never have anything like that again.
Which is the right course of action because if you're going, I understand why Force Awakens was Force Awakens, 100%. And for and I don't hate it. I don't. Force Awakens is probably my favorite of the three movies. It's just episode four again. And I think you needed to have that movie call back so much to the original trilogy, specifically A New Hope, I guess, to win fans back because there was a bunch of, you know, sour taste from the prequel trilogy. That being said, you also were not only marketing to the original trilogy fans, you were marketing to all these kids that were now in their like 20s and 30s who grew up watching the prequel trilogy. So like it's you're shitting in one mouth or the other at the end of the day.
Very eloquently put.
And that's why, like, I think that one day, like within the next 10 years, the way most of us talk about the prequel trilogy now, which is without complete disdain and hatred. I think we will be talking about the sequel trilogy one day. I think there will, and there will be a very loud vocal generation that love those three movies.
Yeah. And Star Wars is not the only, it's not like a monolith that is the only thing that has that thing, because people hate the Zelda games until the next generation comes out. And then they're like, but this one was so good. No one ever said anything bad about it ever. Like, it happens all the time.
Right. I mean, and like, same thing with the Final Fantasy series, is as far as like, oh, like our generation very much is in love with like Final Fantasy 6, 4 maybe, but 6 for sure. And then not like the generation that's still kind of our generation, but like a few years younger than us, they're all about Final Fantasy 7.
Right.
There's a generation of, I think, kids out there that are like all about Final Fantasy 14 and like 13 and that era of Final Fantasy. So it happens with everything. Any IP that goes on forever, you know, you're just going to have a generation that bad talks the new stuff. And then, but there's more people that love the new stuff.
Right.
So anyway, that was our 30-minute tangent. Had very little to do with the year 2024.
I mean, 2024 has only been going on for 29 days so far. We don't have that much to talk about except for what we assume is happening in the future.
Right. Well, and I think really like the purpose of that, like the year end show that we obviously did very late in the year for this, so late in the year, in fact, that it was a 2024 show, and not a wrap up of 2023 officially. Is like kind of, it's almost like a mini State of the Pod, whereas like in July 1st, I do the State of the Pod episode, but this is kind of like like more so a look back at like the pop culture and a look forward to the pop culture, plus a look forward of like stuff we're doing and that we're excited about.
I think that it should be an annual thing.
Oh, it certainly is going to be. Yeah. I think we've only done two or three of these, but I certainly love it. Like, this is like, I'm sure, like, even though my season, I have a, you know, Everything Is Awesome is moving to a seasonal show, where I say September to June, I'm sure that also means that there's a couple weeks off in December, for the holidays. So that would be like the time, like that's when we fill up, oh, here's our winter series. And it's just us talking about 2020X and 2020X plus one. But yeah, so 2024, officially, I can't say that there's a lot of content that I actually know that's coming out that I'm like, oh, I can't wait for it, because I have been in more for the last like 2 months. I've probably been in more of a creator mode than a consumer mode. So, you know, there's definitely, I'm sure, movies and like Disney Plus shows definitely coming out that I know there's some Marvel shows or movies coming out this year. I just don't know
one Marvel movie.
It's just Deadpool, right?
Just Deadpool.
So like super looking forward to Deadpool.
Yep. And then as far as the shows go, I think we get Agatha All Along.
We get that. Is that this year? I thought that got pushed.
I think it is. Maybe it's Ironheart is this year.
Oh, that's been ready to be released. I think that's been done for a while. And then they just keep pushing it for, I don't know why, storyline purposes.
I'll go to the Marvel Studios subreddit and we'll see if they have anything, because they usually will say like, hey, here's what we've got. So early 2024 is supposedly going to be X-Men 97 season one.
I'm excited for that. I do need to go and rewatch the entire series. I mean, I guess I don't need to. I'm sure they're going to set it up in a way where you don't have to have watched it, because they're going to want to get kids that haven't watched it, the old stuff yet. So,
right.
You know, I think the mistake that Disney branded companies make sometimes is, let's purely market this to the old folks that love this shit.
Right. And the problem is, the older you get, the less time you have to really embrace these kinds of things.
Right. You need, if you want X-Men 97 to be like an awesome newish property, you need to be able to get the new generation on board. So you need to, I assume they're going to start it in a way where you don't have to watch everything that comes before. I want to, though, because it's been, I've never rewatched it unless it was reruns on TV. I've only ever watched it on Saturday mornings as a kid.
Right. Agreed. Deadpool 3 is in July. just in time for our birthday. Fall is going to be Agatha. It's the Darkhold Diaries. And late fall is going to be the other animated show, which is going to be Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man Season 1, which is going to be the prequel series that I don't think even ties into the Tom Holland stuff anymore. I think it's its own Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think originally it was going, like, originally it was called, what, Freshman Year, and it was going to be a prequel series to Homecoming. But then we started seeing all this stuff that didn't line up, like Norman Osborn, I think, is like more of the mentor character versus Tony Stark. So it's I think maybe in the MCU multiverse, I think, is where it's at. Right. So that it has nothing to do with Homecoming or our version of Spider-Man.
But maybe we see some kind of payoff in Secret Wars or whatever it's going to be, or Age of Kang or whatever. And then the final 2024 project for Marvel as of right now is The Eyes of Wakanda, which is the Black Panther spinoff.
That's the TV show though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. I'm interested in that.
I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's live action or animated or what.
I thought it was live action, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I would love to see more of that world. Like, I really like, I think some of the most successful Marvel stuff that I've seen in the last few months to a year or whatever is the stuff that does not feature white people. like Miss Marvel is one of my favorite series. I think WandaVision and Loki outpace it for me still, but in a very close third is Miss Marvel, because A, it's that charm that you are used to getting from Spider-Man. And it's just exposes you to that world that we know nothing about. Right. And it's fun for me to see that world. And I hope being represented appropriately. And I think because the showrunners weren't white dudes, I think it was.
Right.
Same thing with What If Season 2, that wholly new character never before seen in a comic book, brand, and I can't remember the name, so
Kahori.
That was some of my favorite parts of Season 2. I mean, that episode and her being in the finale, I guess.
Right.
Some of my favorite parts was with Kahori, and A, because it's a completely original character, which hasn't been done in the MCU before. And again, seeing another culture that I don't know much about, and the fact that they brought in people from that tribe.
Something like that. I know that the Choctaw tribe, they got a big shout out in Echo for lending their knowledge and everything. And fun fact, the voice actress of Kahori is actually, she plays a character in,
I would be excited to see if they bring again. And her, I mean, her power set's a little like, okay, like you got a lot. What is your power set? You can do a lot.
Right.
It's very Captain Marvel esque with like, I don't know, but aside from that, like, I still like the character. I like the originality of it, and I like the diversity of it. And then, obviously Echo, which I haven't watched yet, but I'm sure like that, you know, Echo is a diverse character. So I really like when they bring the diverse, and Black Panther obviously was fantastic for a very similar reason. Is like, it's just not a bunch of white dudes on the screen.
Right.
So I'm excited for Echo, cause I haven't seen it yet. And then Eyes of Wakanda, it's called
Eyes of Wakanda. It sounds like it's going to be the last project in 2024. And I don't imagine that they're going to bring anything from 2025 forward. Because they already have a decent amount of projects in 2025 planned.
Right. And I mean, again, going back to what we were saying earlier, is like, I would like to see it slowed down.
Right.
Like, I think that two movies a year is probably sufficient. Three, if you're really going to wow me. I'd rather see more quality put into these films like they were put into in phase one of the MCU.
Right.
And same thing with the TV shows. Like, I don't need you to release a TV show a month. I need you to release a quality show and give me two or maybe three a year. Again, if and looking at the overall picture of the films and the TV world, like I don't need more than four properties a year. I that is even maybe overkill. You know, and not because I'm worried about like, you know, fatigue, superhero fatigue. I don't think we're going to get there because there's just, they make too much money. Right.
I mean, they have to figure out a way to keep people engaged though, because the Marvels was really good, but it didn't make any money.
Right. And you know, what's the issue there? Is the issue marketing? Is the issue you spent too much money? Is the issue that there are too many white dudes who are shitting on the movie, so it's getting bad word of mouth? Because it's not a bad movie. Probably the best movie in phase four.
Four.
You know, well, I really like Doctor Strange.
And I really like Shang-Chi.
And yeah,
which
that's
another.
Another diverse film that I think did well, well enough that they're doing a sequel. I don't know. It's a shame because if it's because there's so many white dudes that are giving it a bad rep, then like, I just don't believe that like that kind of like it's 2024. Is that the word of mouth that carries weight, or is it just because no one wants to see a female? I mean, I want to see it all. So like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think what they need to do is they also need to look at something like that and say, okay, if we want to tell these stories that just don't do that well in the box office because of whatever reason, we need to lower the budget. Simple. Like, and that way the expectations are lower. And I get it. Like, it costs a lot of money to put a Marvel movie together, but I don't know. I feel like there's a way to tell the Marvels without spending $300 million or whatever that budget was.
I agree. You know what? The other problem with the Marvels was it came right after the strike, and the entirety of the time that the strike was happening, no one could promote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure that had a lot to play with it as well. I mean, you do have the people who are upset that it was a movie that was all female, you know, as far as the big characters, it was three female protagonists. It was the female villain. And it does feel a little hackneyed sometimes. Like, the real world sometimes doesn't feel like that. And it's like, we can tell that you're doing this stuff to pander. And
see, but here's how I compare it. I compare it to 2016 Ghostbusters, right? That 100% was to pander.
Right.
To its detriment. The Marvels didn't feel like that. Did the scene in Endgame feel like pandering?
Very much so.
Yeah, but I didn't hate it.
I hated it because it has nothing to do with anything. It's why in the middle of this epic battle are you guys all striking a pose? It is absolutely insane.
Okay, it could have been done better so that it fit more into the story.
It was not natural at all. It was like, hey, everybody, could you stop for a second? We're doing something here.
I you're right. There could have been a way to focus on the female characters without it being pandery. Okay.
You don't call attention to it. You just have it happen.
Right.
You know, like.
Well, and you know, that goes to Infinity War. Trey he watches these movies out of order. It drives me crazy. But he watched Infinity War, which is unearned when you don't watch the 23 movies before it, but whatever.
Right.
And there is a scene in there where Wanda leaves Vision to go help Black Widow and
the Wasp.
No, not the Wasp. Okoy. And that's a badass scene that happens naturally, that is women led.
Right.
So you're right. There is a way to do that, but it didn't feel like the Marvels was a pandering movie.
I think you're right. Cause they are characters who are inexplicably connected by a couple of different things. And it wasn't like, hey, let's bring them together because they're women. It was these things. And I would assume, you know, people know that, you know, Nick Fury plays a big role in that.
Right.
I think you have people who very much thought it's four women who are at the center of this story.
Right.
And I'm sick of it.
Right. And, which is crazy. Like when Wonder Woman first came out, you know, I spoke to a friend of the show, Casey Spivey, and you know, we were talking about how that movie is so good, and how like as a white male, like I can find things to relate to in that movie, in that character, just because.
Because it was gender swapped Captain America.
Who I guess Wonder Woman came after Captain America, but I guess that is true. I mean, they are similar characters, right? But
the movie is exactly the same.
Oh no, no! One's World War One, and the other is World War Two. But Wonder Woman had to be a period piece. It really did. I think it would have sucked.
Both of their Chrises disappear at the end.
It's true. It's true. But you do. I think if you first told your first Wonder Woman story in the modern era, it would have fell flat for sure.
Right, I agree.
Like watching the Marvels, it's not like I watched that movie and I can't put myself into those characters' mindsets. Like, yes, I'm not a brown girl from North Jersey, but
could've fooled me.
I was an awkward teenage boy once. And it's very different being an awkward teenage boy than it is being an awkward teenage girl, or, you know, especially when you involve race and color and stuff. But that central theme of being an awkward teenager is there. Right. Which is, I think, what makes Ms. Marvel work. The TV show is one of the layers that work there, you know,
her enthusiasm also, which it ticks me off because her show suffered from the same thing. Like there's people out there right now who just hate the idea of a female led something, an ethnically charged character, anything like that. And she really is, in my opinion, right now, the heart and soul of the Marvel universe right now.
Yeah, for sure.
You definitely have the other actors who will give it their all and everything like that. Tom Hiddleston nailed it in Loki and everything like that. But I feel like as far as enthusiasm and like just Iman will be like showing up on like Reddit threads and like trying to like start stuff with people.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that she's on Reddit. Like it's the funniest thing.
Yeah, I don't know how we got on this tangent. Oh, the making movies better, it goes to that point. Like, I think Marvel needs to say, what are we doing with this story? Does it deserve a big budget? Not to say that the Marvels doesn't deserve that big budget. Just it's the reality is that if it's not going to be successful with that big budget, you have to find a way to tell that story cheaper.
Right. We know that it's risky for everybody because Aquaman also failed, and Aquaman does not have those same problems.
Right. And like, even looking at a Batman who, you know, chances are is always going to make bank, but like, you can't tell me that doing a $10 million noir Batman film wouldn't be one of the greatest comic book movies of all time.
Right.
And you don't have to have it star Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, Robert Pattinson. Like, it doesn't have to be an established actor. It doesn't have to be a big name. You know, Jensen Eccles, is that the right last name?
Yeah.
Like, you know, give him that $10 million noir movie. I'm sure he'd crush it.
Right.
And that's a big enough name.
These years, you don't even have to have him be live action.
Right. You're right. But I've seen enough very specifically DC animated movies, where they have thrived longer in animation than Marvel has, and it's been vice versa for Marvel. They have thrived in live action, where I would rather see a live action over animated DC movie. You're right. It can work as animation, but for DC, I prefer the live action stuff because I've seen so much success in their animation stuff. And like, not for nothing, when it comes to Batman specifically, like, it's really hard for me to picture a voice other than Kevin Conroy. I know you have to now. There's not even a choice. But like, and that's not to like, I mean, Jensen Ackles has voiced the character, Troy something another has. Like, all these voice actors have done a great job voicing Batman. It's just that for me, there's a standard. Just like there's a standard for a live action Batman. Like, you, and it's, I guess, not hard to beat anymore, Michael Keaton's performance.
Right.
But like, that's the standard for me, or even Batfleck. That's the standard for me when it comes to live action. Like, if you can't hit those characters the way they do, like, it's, you're going to have a hard time, you know, capturing my attention. But yeah, I think that the success of comic book movies, not just Marvel, and I hope James Gunn and WB look at these movies. I know he's a great storyteller, but I hope they look at them in a way of, like, let's find the best way to tell these stories as cheap as possible, because if they don't hit $1 billion because your budget's 500 million, like, it's considered a failure. And that's just right. Not fair to the entire team that puts that movie together.
Right. And I think just since the pandemic, things have changed a little bit. Like, I think people were excited to get out there when, I mean, you look at Top Gun and Mission Impossible, they're both Tom Cruise movies that have had, you know, big followings in the past and everything. Top Gun hit in the middle of the pandemic still, and the Mission Impossible, which, you know, has historically had high numbers and everything, right, for whatever reason hadn't hit. And the same thing with, like, Fast and the Furious did not hit. But then you've got things like Oppenheimer and Barbie, which came out of nowhere and crushed it in 2023.
Yeah, it is. And I wonder if those two movies, Barbie and Oppenheimer, if they helped each other, because it was such a ridiculous,
right,
like, combo on the same weekend. Yeah. I wonder if that somehow, like, the fact that they refused the bud from the release dates ended up being the best marketing for those two movies, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's I think part of the issue with comic book movies is that, oh, there's just so much that, like, and it's never going to change, but, like, and they release not that long, like, months later on the streaming platform.
Right. So, like, that is a huge thing, I think.
Right. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love it, because I love to watch them as, you know, as soon as they, like, if I see it in theater, I want to see it as soon as possible again. So I love it, but it's being a successful movie in the 2020s is hard. Especially in a post-pandemic world, which, you know,
with inflation, I think and everything, and
and you know, while, you know, the pandemic might not be the excuse anymore, the pandemic, like, helped put more nails in theaters' coffins than not.
Right.
So I just think you need to tell any story really as cheaply as possible. You know, especially if you're not a superhero movie, because right now superhero movies are unfortunately the ones that are making all the money. But I also think that you need to find a way to tell those stories cheaper so that you're not considered a fail. Like, there's no reason that the Marvels should be considered a failure, because it's such a great movie.
Right.
Anyway,
we want to talk about our upcoming movies and TV shows and stuff like that.
Well, so yeah, what else do we have coming out? Let's do like a quick 5 minutes or so on what's coming out.
Do we want to talk movies, TV, games?
Let's do 5 minutes on movies and 5 minutes on games.
All right. So,
and then we'll kind of wrap up with what we have planned for ourselves.
So I know that, Argyle is coming out on February 2nd.
I want to see that. That looks really good.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty cool notion. I'm a huge fan of Matthew Vaughn. The Kingsman stuff is always great. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the First Class it infused the idea of X-Men being good after that. A movie with the title of the movie that we were going to make, The Promised Land, comes out.
I saw that.
I don't really have any interest in it, but Lisa Frankenstein.
That looks good. I'll probably see, I don't know if I'll see it in theater. I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to utilize my A-list this year.
Yeah. What about Madam Web?
Oh, God. I mean, I feel like I'm less interested in that movie now that it's not taking place in the Andrew Garfield universe. And from what I understand, they just cut ties completely with Spider-Man, which makes me want to see even less. I will see it, but I don't know that it's going to be
in theaters.
Maybe, but I just don't know that it's going to be great. I feel like it was a missed opportunity to include Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in something, because we all just got off such a big high of like his performance.
Right.
That you could kind of resurrect that version of the character in a way. And to not do that just seems wild to me. Like, I still think that Sony and Marvel should team up to do, you know, whether it's Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. I would like to see a Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. I would like to see a Disney Plus series with Andrew Garfield, and then keep on doing what you're doing with Tom Holland.
Right. We've got Dune 2. Well, Dune Part 2. The first one was good. I liked it.
Never seen it.
Roadhouse, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. I think it hits Amazon Prime in March. That's, I just saw the trailer for it. It actually looks really, really.
That's like UFC fighting one, right?
Yeah, I mean, so he's got a history of UFC fighting, and then retires, and then someone tries to recruit him to be the bouncer at whatever house, whatever roadhouse. The only problem that I have with it is Conor McGregor is in it, and he's kind of been a piece of crap lately, from my understanding.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I honestly probably have no interest in this movie.
Right. But I bet you do have interest in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
That, and I don't think they've released a trailer yet, but it just looks good. I mean, Slimer's back. Is there a trailer for it?
Yeah,
there
is a trailer. It's a teaser. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I am so excited for that.
They might have just released another one within the last day or two.
Maybe.
I vaguely remember seeing something online, but
I love that new cast so much. And Ernie Hudson recently said that he'll just keep playing in Ghostbusters for as long as he can.
Right.
And I think that's great, because honestly, out of the original Ghostbusters that are left, he's probably in the best shape to like at least show up in the films and be believable over and over again, which right. is crazy, because he was never really the star of that movie. And I think he could be the face, the new cast has to be the face of those movies, but I think he could be like
the legacy face.
Yeah. No. And that's crazy to me that we're not saying Bill Murray should be the legacy face.
Right. As of right now, Ghostbusters is not the only movie releasing on March 29th. We also have Godzilla X Kong 2, the new Empire. And the MonsterVerse movies are also one of those ones that has like done pretty well over these past couple of years.
Yeah, I will see that. Trey did a deep dive on the newer Godzilla stuff, and we love it. So we'll probably go see that for sure.
Yep. Let's see. What else do we got?
Oh, isn't that there a new ape movie coming out this year?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes comes out in May. I don't believe that it has, like, we're beyond Caesar at this point, you know, like Caesar.
Yeah.
You know,
but I'll see it.
We are several decades, three centuries after the era of Andy Serkis's Caesar. So we're way far in the future. And it looks like Kevin Durand is the new ape, who's doing a lot of the stuff. And we know Kevin Durand as the Blob and from Lost and everything like that.
You think that the Planet of the Apes series ever gets to the point where they have a long lost spaceship or whatever crash lands, like the opening of the original one or whatever? Do we think we ever get to that point where you have like that Charles Heston?
Well, I think like at three centuries in the future where the apes are all talking,
right?
Know, that's when you would do it. You know, if you were going to do it, you would either do it in this first movie, or if this is supposed to be the lead into another trilogy, you do it at the end so that you can do another three movies after that and explain something along
those lines. Would love to see them do a trilogy here that's like sets up whatever they're trying to tell here, which is obviously like humans have regressed, apes have I think part of the summary is like apes trying to figure out human technology, like old human technology. Tell your story here, end it with like a, which is crazy to think about, like, oh, it's 300 years in the future, so that how is this person from space still alive? But you know, time works different in space. And have them crash land and then tell like a new version of that story. I think that'd be neat as hell, because these have never really been like reboots of that original story.
Correct. Yeah. Or the Mark Wahlberg.
We don't talk about that one.
Also in May, we have If, which is Ryan Reynolds' movie good. About imaginary friends. Yeah. That looks really cute. And I think John Krasinski is the director for that.
He is. So. He is. And Steve Carell, I think, stars as like the major If.
Right. Right. We've got the Furiosa prequel also in May. Let's see. We've got Ballerina, which is the John Wick crossover spinoff thing. Let's see. What else do we got?
I don't know that I'll see either of those in theater, but I'll probably watch them.
Bad Boys 4.
Oh, Inside that's coming out this year?
Coming out this year, according 100%. To...
100%. I don't care how... Do not care how bad that movie's going to be.
You don't care how many people Will Smith slaps?
He can slap me, and I'll go see it.
I have not seen the third one.
It's good. It's. I mean, listen, Bad Boys... Is Bad Boys 1 and 2, did they come out near each other? Or Bad Boys 1...
Fairly near compared to 2 okay. and 3.
The reason 3 is so good is because they waited so long to tell that story.
Right.
And not that they waited as long to tell the fourth one, but I... Listen, think what you will of Will Smith. I think that he... And I know his body of work sometimes shows this isn't the case. He usually, especially with the IP he cares about, vets those scripts to make sure they're not pieces of shit.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Inside Out 2 comes out in June.
Yeah, I'll see.
The Quiet Place Day 1, I guess, which is the ground zero of the alien invasion for that series. That's in June as well. We'll see. Beverly Hills Cop makes a return.
100% going to see that.
A sequel to Twister is coming out in July.
Listen, it's stupid that it's called a sequel because it has nothing to do with the original story. Just call it a reboot.
It could be the tornado from the first movie makes a return.
that's the character that comes back.
Deadpool 3 we have in July, as we mentioned. Let's see. The Borderlands movie comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. Eventually,
an Aliens movie comes out. Craven comes out.
Sony, they just need to sell the characters back to Marvel. I
Craven was done so well in the Insomniac series. Game.
Oh. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
It was very well done. Like, you could say what you will about the movie, like, or the game, the story kind of condenses towards the end of the game. And like it becomes about villain number two or whatever, but they, especially with all the stuff that you can find out about Craven, like throughout like the collectathons and everything like that, Craven showed up big in that game. So I can't imagine being impressed with what they're going to do in the movie.
It's just,
the movie has 2 hours to do what the game had like 20 hours to do.
And like, I don't know, like, listen, I get it. We all love Venom, but I think we all love Venom for reasons Sony doesn't understand.
Right.
And I don't think you can replicate that magic with Kraven or with any villain, really. I don't know. I get what they're doing. They're trying to build out an MCU out of just the Spider-Man characters. It's just, I don't think it's going
to
work.
I don't think it'll ever, they'll never be able to pull it off.
Venom is a once in a lifetime opportunity. It is a love story between Eddie Brock and Venom.
Right. And it only works because Tom Hardy is so into that script and that movie.
So into it. He is fucking chewing the scenery and having a great time. I hope Tom Hardy plays Venom for 50 movies.
Right.
I will watch every single one of them.
If you had another actor who was like, nah, I'm not going to do the Venom voice, like, it would not have worked out.
Right.
It's because he enjoys the duality of that role so much.
It is. Perfection. And you're not going to get that in any other Spider-Man villain movie. You right. can't convince me otherwise. I don't think Aaron Taylor Thomas,
that's the guy from is it Aaron Taylor Thomas?
Aaron something Taylor, maybe.
Hold on, I gotta find out for us.
I
now
I think the name Aaron and Taylor exist in Craven's actor's name. I can't think of
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas is what's in my head.
Yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson is what Taylor we're saying. Johnson. Okay. Phenomenal actor. Loved him in
so pissed that he didn't come back as Quicksilver at all, except for what, 3 seconds in something so far?
Love him as an actor. It's not his fault that Kraven's going to suck at all, but you cannot, I'll see it. I will watch the hell out of that movie. Ironically, the way I did with Venom. However, there's no way I'm going to walk out and say, I love this movie. I walked out of Venom and was like, I'm in love with this movie. Like, this is so bad. It's good.
I haven't seen Morbius yet.
It is. Listen, are there worse movies? Absolutely. Are there better movies? 100%. I want Morbius 2, though, just because it's, again, Morbius, I want a sequel, I guess, just to continue the story. It wasn't terrible.
So is Jared Leto one of the reasons that it does not do well? Because he does well in portraying the version of Joker that he wanted to portray. I do not believe that Joker should ever be portrayed that way.
Listen, I think so. I think the biggest issue I have with that movie is that it has nothing to do with the movie itself. It's the post-credit scene. Like, they are, again, trying to build some sort of universe that doesn't make sense.
Right, like, and they waved away with, hey, we're going to go after Spider-Man, who I seem to have no problem with at the end of my movie that I was in with Spider-Man, but by now I'm upset for some reason.
Like, and like, why is the Vulture in the Sony universe now? Like, that's not the way Doctor Strange's magic works.
Right.
And like, I don't know. Again, it's another opportunity. It looks like that movie was supposed to be Tobey Maguire. Like, when you look at the visions of Spider-Man, you do get in that. But again, it's another wasted opportunity to maybe, listen, like, as much as I love Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, unless it's a Spider-Man 4, I don't know that I want to see him again. But if you're going to, like, build this Sony universe, Spider-Man universe, and maybe not even have Spider-Man there, but allude to him, it should be Andrew Garfield. And the fact that that didn't happen, and the fact that and somehow Vulture's in this universe and it's not connected to the MCU Spider-Man, it just blows my mind. Right. And that was, I think, the biggest mistake of Morbius. People will probably have other reasons why Morbius was a mistake. It doesn't hit the levels of Venom that makes it a good movie, that makes Venom a good movie. I think that a Morbius 2 needs to have an adjusted team behind it and maybe an adjusted budget to do it justice and give it a chance. Otherwise, don't do it. Don't do it.
Speaking of Keaton, he's back with Beetlejuice 2 this year.
Oh, that's this year. I cannot wait. Like, I hope that this movie has that Bad Boys effect where it's been forever since we saw the first one or the last one or whatever. And that it's just so good.
Right.
I am curious though, how they're going to explain Alec Baldwin and Geena Davis away, because they were doomed to live in that house as the undead or ghost or whatever for like 100 years or something. So, they have quite a few more years that they're supposed to be there, and apparently they're not. So I'm curious about that one. But I mean, Michael Keaton, great. Ryder, great. Jenna Ortega, great. Like, what a phenomenal cast. Cannot wait.
And taking a step back before we go a step forward, Joker has a sequel that comes out this year.
I could not care less.
I don't know how that's going to go. Venom does have its third movie this year.
Venom is 3 is this year? Holy shit. I didn't even know they were filming it, I guess.
Yep.
So Trey wanted to watch The Joker, right? And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll watch it with you. And like, I fell asleep during it. It's not a bad movie. It's just, tell me why we're doing this. Like, why is this the Joker and not an original character? Like,
there's so much. The Joker character appeals to so many weird edgelords. Like, I don't understand the appeal.
It is. Like, I feel like the Joker is such a simple character to nail. Like, And you have to do it with Batman. Like, right. You can't have, yes, you can have Batman without the Joker, but what really makes Batman tick is the Joker. But you cannot have the Joker without,
or any of his origin story. Right. It's, hey, what's your laugh all about? I'm nervous.
And like, listen, it is a great commentary on mental health. I will give it that. But again, you could do that movie and just not be in Gotham. I don't know. Same thing with Indiana Jones 4.
You do that movie and you don't allude to it being Joker at all until like halfway through the movie. You make it so that people don't even realize they're watching a Joker movie until they do.
That would have been a great way to do it. It's very much got that Indiana Jones 4 thing to it, where this isn't not a bad movie. It's just a bad movie for Indiana Jones. This is just a bad Joker movie. Like, I don't get the appeal. I'm not looking forward to it being Harley Quinn. It being a musical is probably the biggest selling point to me.
Right. All right, so I got a question for you.
Yes.
What movie do you think from 2000 is getting a sequel?
24 years later.
24 years later. I will give you a hint. The actor who we were just talking about, who played Joker, was in the original.
Joaquin Phoenix in 2000.
And obviously not a superhero movie.
What?
I can give you another hint. Do you want another hint?
Yeah, give me another hint.
Russell Crowe.
Wait, the disaster movie?
No, not disaster movie. Gladiator is getting a sequel.
Weren't they? Oh no, that was Dennis Quaid in that disaster movie they did together.
I don't even want to think about it. So Gladiator 2 is coming out. Now here's the interesting thing about Gladiator 2. They originally wanted to make a Gladiator 2 several years later, not 24 years later. And Gladiator 2 was supposed to be a Forrest Gump-like experience where whatever Russell Crowe's character played goes throughout history and does like other big battles. It was the weirdest freaking thing. I have no idea what this is supposed to be anymore, but the main character in this one is going to be a grown-up Lucius, which is the little boy from Gladiator. I think
I've seen Gladiator. It's not my cup of tea. I will not be seeing this movie.
I really liked Gladiator and Braveheart. Those were like my two like big war movies growing up that I enjoyed.
Braveheart I like, yeah. So let's how many more, what month are we in?
We are in November. We're at the end of November, where Wicked's coming out.
No interest.
The end of December, the Lion King sequel comes out.
Oh God, I wish I had interest in that, but I saw Lion King, which was me just watching a live action version done poorly of the animated film,
which is a shame because Favreau was behind it and he's awesome.
Yeah. You know what? It gave us the technology that exists for Star Wars and Marvel movies now. Right. So, you know, something good came from it. Let's see. I have a meeting to hop on in 3 minutes. So,
oh God.
So
part 3,
we're going to have to do a part 3 of, I guess let's say part 3 will be games, TV, and what we have going on in 2024.
Sounds good.
So that was movies of 2024 and a whole lot of just, you know, going off the rails. Stuff. Yeah. So Mike, quickly give people where they can find you, and then we'll put a bullet in this.
So you can find me on telus.com. There's too much going on right now. Telus.com. That's where you can find me.
Telus.com. And like what? At Telus or at Telus Books elsewhere, correct?
At Telus, at Telus Books, that Telus guy, if you want to find me on Twitch.
Go to Twitch.
You need Telus on YouTube.
At that Telus guy on Twitch. Let's get Mike to 50 subscribers. Is that
followers.
What it is?
Followers.
50 first. Followers.
13 away.
And then, you know, in the post outro, you'll hear where to find me and everything is awesome. Because honestly, other than at that nerdy Kev everywhere but Facebook, at that nerdy Kev 1984 on Facebook, I don't know the everything is awesome plugs at all, except for awesomepodcast.com. Hopefully I still own that.
It's important.
Thank you once again to Mike D'Angelo for being on this week's episode of Everything is Awesome. Real quick, let's take a sip of coffee for the working man. Let's hear that right now. Oh, yeah, baby. I obviously love when I sit down and talk to Mike. And this was the first time we sat down to record a podcast. And I shouldn't say the first, it's technically the second time, but this is part of like a, it was like a 3-day recording session because we just had so much to talk about in our, and we didn't even have an outline, but in our like agenda for the, you know, best of looking forward to, type of stuff. So, once again, thanks to Mike for being on the show, and make sure you find all his stuff at Tellist.com is a nice little hub to find everything, at Tellist or at Tellist Books on most social media, except for Twitch at that Tellist guy. You can find me on those areas, at that Nerdy Kev everywhere, except for Facebook. My public Facebook name is That Nerdy Kev 1984. And I do, you know, the one I use the most is the TikTok at That Nerdy Kev. The show itself, while you're looking for social medias to follow and whatnot, is at Real Awesome Pod on Facebook and Twitter. Instagram, we're at Awesome Podcast. And then, of course, awesomepodcast.com is our hub. I do not have a TikTok for the podcast because it would just be me sitting around talking anyway. So I just use my personal TikTok. Call to action, as always, is to, you know, have your voice heard. That is the most important thing. I swear I'm going to have a little bit more organization when it comes to these end of show cleanups, housekeeping things. But Make Five Calls, fivecalls.org is a wonderful, wonderful spot to use to help you find issues that are important to you, find contact information for your representatives, and have scripts to read to make it nice and easy when you call. You can even call after their office hours and leave a voicemail if you're a little shy and don't want to talk to a human being. Sometimes it goes right to voicemail regardless, but that script is really useful to make calling nice, easy, and quick and painless. And calling is like the best way to have your voice heard, next to like showing up to the office, which could seem a little intrusive, but it's better than writing a letter, you know, we've said this many times before, politics isn't a trickle-down. Trickle-down doesn't work in almost every aspect of life, but especially politics, you know, it is important who you vote for every 4 years to represent our country, but at the end of the day, when it comes to your local community, and I hammer this home a lot because I think it's the God honest truth. You'll find that regardless of what side of the political aisle you'll sit on, your local community at its heart wants the same thing, and that's just a safe, loving community for you and your family to live in and grow in. So, you know, you'll find that to be true if you just, you know, talk calmly with people. And B, making change locally is so much easier than any other change. Go to town hall meetings, call your local representatives, mention that there's a lot of potholes in your street, or there's not a stop sign at the corner of your street, and there's a lot of kids who live here. And that stuff, it may take time, but you'll find that effectively you'll make change locally and help make your community more welcoming, more safe, and a more loving place. Anyway, that's it. I already gave you all the plugs. We'll be back next time right here with more Everything is Awesome, only on awesomepodcast.com.